Okay, you want to go on to your recommendations then?
I will. Tonight I have three recommendations to the board. First one is a then and now for Gordon Foods for some food service supplies for the month of October. The second is a transfer from the general fund to athletic fund of $10,000. This is the initial step in paying what we owe to the city for the pool, the diving well at the pool on an annual basis. And then the third, I have a contract for Intertech PSI. This is for the construction material testing and special inspection services. I just want to go into this quickly because this is a sizable contract. This is a contract that we're well aware of. This is not a surprise by any means. This is just we had looked for some proposals. This is the company that we're asking to work with. The size of the contract, or the way the contract works, it's based off of time and materials. So as we need testing done on our site, we bring out this company to do those types of testing. They'll do anything from the proof roll testing or compaction testing, soil testings. They'll also do the concrete testing to make sure it meets spec according to the architects. And this is a third-party company. This is separate from the architects and separate from the construction managers and construction people. So they're there to ensure that the soils, the ground, the concrete, the steel, the welds meet the specs that are written by the architects to make sure we're getting our product as we move along that process. And our ultimate goal is to make sure that we're avoiding issues going forward.
Part of the construction budget and the construction plan.
So it is, as we divvy the budget, the construction budget really into three different areas, or I have typically divvied them into three different areas. We have our hard construction costs, the actual construction. Those will be your GMPs that you're doing to Icon Construction as your the company we've chosen. We have another piece of it, our architect and engineering costs. Okay, that's another piece. And then the third piece, we have a kind of a catch-all of our owner contingency of everything else that we pay in there. And we've had some city fees that we've paid out of that amount. We'll have EPA fees that we'll pay out of that amount. As we talked earlier about the wetlands permit, or Scott, you know, Mr. Coggin spoken earlier about the wetlands, we will buy, I think it's 0.45 acres to mitigate what we have here. That will come out of this remaining budget as well, or remaining monies out of our bond issue. This particular contract with PSI is estimated to be between $130,000 and $160,000. A sizable amount, but again, we want to make sure that what we're building on, the products that we're getting, like the steel and the concrete, meet the specs that are needed. There aren't a ton of companies. We did speak with our legal counsel regarding PSI. I've worked with PSI in the past as well. I'm comfortable with PSI. They only come out when they're required to come out, and we've put in, we've tried to negotiate a deal that's beneficial to the district, limiting, you know, minimums. So in case something would get canceled, you know, instead of their standard four-hour minimum, we're at a one-hour minimum. We've tried to reduce some of those things. So
it is part of that third piece of construction.
It is, yes. Generally speaking, you know, you're going to look at your construction side of it. So we're at $33.6 million. We're looking at our construction of about 10%. 90% is your construction. And that remains 10% for non-construction.
Part of the overall.
And your architecture fees.
Okay. At what point would you have them come out for a test? What would precipitate that for you to have them come out?
We're generally going to know those as we move along. We're going to proof roll all the areas, just like Mr. Goggin spoken about a little bit earlier. We want to make sure that the soil happens. That is part of it. So what they're doing is they're the third party who will actually a proof roll. They'll load up a truck with 20 tons in the back of the truck, and they will roll the truck over the ground, and they will watch how the ground reacts to that truck. And there's, you know, some ways they'll just compact it, not a big deal. The big concern is what's called pumping. Is actually you can watch the ground go down and then rise back up as the truck passes. And you know, those would be issues, and then they would then sample that area if it would not pass the proof roll to determine why and what we can do to solve the problem to fix it. So the construction manager generally will have a schedule of when they're going to need testing done. Same thing would be when they're pouring concrete. They'll come out and take samples from every truck that comes on site. And then
PSI
they'll... PSI will, yep.
Now,
okay.
I guess that was, maybe I didn't understand it correctly. They're almost, they'll perform whatever services we want them to perform.
For construction testing, yes.
Right.
Yes.
But we already have them pre-signed, like pre-set up. You're gonna come in and do this as a minimum. Or we only bring them in when we think there might be a problem.
The architects, and no, they're gonna come in, not when we think there's a problem. There's a number of areas, benchmarks, that they're gonna come in to make sure we're getting the products that are spec'd.
Okay.
So an example would be is as we're pouring concrete slabs, okay, we want to make sure that concrete is going to hold up long-term. And part of that is making sure it meets the spec that was required by the architect. So they will take samples of every truck coming in. And then they will test it for, it's a slurry test. There's a couple other things that they do to measure it, to make a scientific guess, really, but a scientific estimate on if it will hold up to spec or not.
As an example, one of our issues with the
rotunda.
What's that?
The rotunda. This brings to mind the rotunda because they...
Was a concrete mixture.
Yeah.
Correct. So this will be your testing agency will ensure that. Now again, they're just checking to make sure it's to what's spec'd by the architects. And I don't want to assume what was done in a prior project.
Yeah, no.
But they will make sure that it's to spec of what has been created by your architects.
So instead of going so if there's a problem, say 2 years afterwards or a year afterwards, instead of doing it reactively and trying to build up a case for what may have gone wrong, we're kind of
construction manager
getting our information ahead of time, maybe?
Yeah, so we've got two pieces of it. Is one, remember, in this building project, we're doing construction manager at risk.
Right.
So if we have a problem 2 years down the line, we make one phone call to one company and we say, here, you guys figure it out. But during that process, we want to make sure that they wouldn't come back and say, oh, hey, it was the concrete company. You know, it had too much air in it, or it had too much stone, or a number of different pieces that are concrete. So there, what we're doing is making sure we're getting the products. We're proactively going through saying, okay, we've tested this sample. It doesn't meet the spec. Send it back and send another truck out. So this way we're making sure that everything that's coming on site in those areas that are generally can be tested. Same thing with your welds. You don't necessarily want to find out a couple of years down the line that your welds are not done correctly or not done with the right material. You know, we're doing a steel frame construction. There's going to be a significant amount of welding done. Mm-hmm. We'll want to make sure those welds are tested to prevent future failure.
So
they want to be safe.
So
if I could just add that he's right online, Tom has this. With this project, we did that third-party testing as well, and it was actually that data that was critical for us in the litigation phase afterwards to prove where it had fallen short and who was liable for those mistakes.
Well, and so that's exactly what happened with the rotunda and why we stopped and said, we're going to wait. We're going to do this right. We've got this third party. My question is, why is ICON not? I mean, why isn't this lumped into what ICON does as our construction manager risk? I mean, I'm fine with it.
Yep.
We have to do this.
So what we do is it's because we truly want a third party.
Okay.
We want it. We don't want somebody working for the construction manager.
Okay.
And there could be the cast of impropriety,
okay,
or a shadow of impropriety that could be cast over the project if it's like, oh, hey, it's their testing agency.
Yeah.
So we use a independent third party that contracts directly with the district. They do not work for the architect. They do not work for the construction manager. They work for us and us alone.
The other thing we want to know,
I like that.
It's great that, and Dave's right, that helps afterwards, mm-hmm. but it can also help us before the concrete's even poured.
Correct.
Oh.
You know, so I mean, while it's great to be able to blame someone afterwards, I'd really like it to be done right the first time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so that's another thing that kind of helps mm-hmm. us.
I have one question for you on the amount we pay the city for the pool. How long do we pay that? And that's for the diving well?
It is specifically for
and
the diving well.
Wasn't it for 25 years?
You know, I would have to. I don't recall. I looked it up last year, and I don't recall.
We should be pretty close to the end of that
okay.
from my memory. But that would be good.
Years,
if you could let us know.
I will absolutely. I'll look it up and send a copy to the board.
Which year we're on.
Yep.
That would
absolutely.
Be good.
Maybe they'll forgive it 1 year.
That would be really nice.
Okay, do you want them separated or together?
If it so pleases the board, I would like to, you know, combine all three and do it 4A through 4C.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve items 4A, B, and C?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion or questions? Okay, roll call, please.
Finucane?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Kraft?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, first item I'd like to pull out and with A, letter A, is, as always, recognize those who donate to the Westlake School District, and we have two donations to recognize tonight. We have the Westlake Demon Athletic Boosters donating $1,776.77 to the Athletic Department at Westlake High School to purchase Lift-A-Thon t-shirts for the football team. We also have a donation by Westlake Music Boosters. They donated a Horwath oboe to the band department at the high school, and we would like to thank them both for those donations. The item where I think Mr. Hopkins and I will both talk about together is a resolution to approve a contract with the Westlake Teachers Association. This contract, I'll talk about a couple of things. I think this may seem like it happened quickly, but it really didn't. As we were closing the previous negotiations, which were just about 2 years ago, we had conversations about not wanting to go through something like that again. We had talked about, and actually we created what's called a communication forum, where we meet monthly. We put tough topics on the table. We have not easy conversations. They're challenging conversations, but they're respectful and they're two-way communication. I think that set the table for a lot of conversations to happen. I could tell you from my side, the building of trust and also seeing perspective of people who are involved. We also decided that going into this next round of negotiations, we were going to try interest-based bargaining, where each side brings five items to the table, you get trained in consensus, and you go through that process. However, before we got there, we had a conversation about the actual language in the contract. Like I said, it feels like a very short time ago where we were having these conversations, and we had a lot of really good ones. We took on some big topics at that time as well. So we both sides felt comfortable with the body of the contract, with the language that was inside there. We agreed it wasn't perfect. However, we found through this time together that we were able to work through the things that weren't perfect. So we were fine with the actual contract. The part that had the most conversations was the financial part of it. And having this year and a half here, Mr. Hopkins has had a lot of opportunities to go through where we are with that. And so I'll cover the language side of it, you know, the things that we built in place on the front end of this really helped with coming together with the language. And I'll transfer over to Mr. Hopkins here to talk about the finance part.
Thank you. So as Mr. Goggin had stated, you know, really in this proposal is best summed up as a rollover of the current contract language that has been worked through the communications forum for a lot of the tweaking of the language itself.
But we didn't actually tweak. I mean, we've taken on topics. We didn't negotiate language.
We didn't. No, we did not. Yeah. No. Taking on topics through the communication forum and working through to get to an understanding of those topics through communication forum. So the focus of this proposal that the board has in front of them is really mostly financially based. So when we look at it, I want to start off, I'll start off up front and speak a little bit exactly what this proposal is. So the proposal before the board is a 2 to 3 year contract, and I'll explain that in a second, at 2.25% base increase per year during the term of the agreement. Now, the reason I say 2 to 3% is we've built in...
2 to 3 years.
I'm sorry, 2 to 3 years. I'm sorry, 2 to 3 years. We've built in a certification piece for the third year. There's a lot of unknowns in school funding, specifically around the state funding in Ohio, and that happens on a 2-year biennium budget. And that changes every 2 years, unfortunately, or has historically. So this would allow us to be locked in for the first 2 years. And at this point, we certainly could certify the third year under the current 5-year forecast. But this allows us to measure out those unknowns over the next 2 years and determine if we can certify the third year 2 years from now, essentially. I believe we've put in language that by November 1st of 2019, we would certify the third year if we're able to. So this is that 2 to 3 years. We've also put in, start historically on why we're at that 2.25%. When we look at it, the district here in Westlake, the last base increase for our teaching staff was in the 2012-2013 school year, which set a base salary of $40,832. The following school year, the 13-14 school year, the Teachers Association agreed to a 2.5% decrease, bringing the base salary to $39,836. That base freeze held in place for the 2014-15 school year, 2015-16 school year, 2016-17 school year, and the most current this school year, the 17-18 school year. The best way that I'd like to, address that is I think that that really was a market correction. I think there was a concern about the community, about the base salary of the staff, and that was a freeze that happened over that long term, or generally a market correction. When we look at this next year, the 2.25% increase to the base starting in August of 2018, our base salary would still be below the base salary in the 2012-2013 school year. We will not exceed that 12-13 school year base salary until the following year, the 2019-20 school year. Under the current proposal, we've also looked at what are our neighboring districts doing. And we reviewed the data that's currently available on the CERB website, the State Employment Relations Board, which has the contracts for many of the neighboring districts. As we look at Bay Village, Rocky River, North Olmsted, Fairview Park, Avon, and Berea, all of those districts have salaries listed for next year. We would still be well below the average of those districts with this increase put in place for next school year. Additionally, we've included an optional new insurance plan that allows for a more cost-effective option in line with the healthcare discussion throughout the country. The plan allows the district to incentivize change by reducing the employee premium, thereby allowing both district and employee to share in the savings plan. Ultimately, as the treasurer, I want to let the board know that we are able to certify the 5-year forecast, or certify this contract because of the 5-year forecast that was approved by the board at the October meeting earlier this year. The increases fit within the forecast without modification. I believe this contract allows us to be competitive in attracting and retaining the best staff. Furthermore, if economic forces or state funding changes adversely affect us, we are able to forego the third year and enter into traditional negotiations at that time. So because of those reasons, I am recommending this contract to the board along with the superintendent.
All right.
Thank you.
Do you want me to go through?
I don't want to interrupt, but I need somebody to sign this because I have to leave early.
Sure.
I should have gotten here earlier, but
it's okay. How are you doing?
Do you...
We'll probably go, I'll go through
any
other, and then you can ask questions at the end.
Well, yeah, after we make a motion.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So, we'll table that. And I talked about the calendar a little bit. Acceleration handbook is something that was sent. Kathy, do you want to say anything about the acceleration handbook?
You want me to just review what I've given the board report?
Do you have any? Yeah, sure.
So essentially, this was a slight change. Previously, any acceleration information was in the gifted handbook, but I think quite often it was confusing for parents because parents just assume if their child was gifted, let's say in mathematics, that they would automatically be accelerated when they were at Lee-Bernison. And so in an effort to clarify this information, we created an acceleration handbook because there are four different types of acceleration. There's early entrance for kindergarten, whole grade acceleration, subject acceleration, and early graduation. So again, it was just an effort to try to clarify this information and provide some guidance, and the last few pages, there's a form. So that's it. If you have any questions.
Next point is a contract from the Cuyahoga County. The Cuyahoga County Board of Developmental Disabilities. This is a service contract for some of our students with disabilities. It was sent earlier in the year, and we just got the copy now to sign. Rest are pretty basic. Letter F, resolution to approve salary increases. These are adjustments made based on mostly gathering of more educational credits and some project link personnel, classified licensed substitutes, and I think not too much else. Did you have any questions about any others on here? One I just want to highlight is the resolution to approve the Science Olympiad overnight field trip. This really sounds like a good one. They're going to Yale University, and this is funded completely by the Westlake Science Olympiad team. So they do that invitational, and it raises a great deal of money for them to do these projects. And I don't know, is Molly going to this one?
She is.
She excited about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a really neat one, and so we look forward to that. So if we break these up, I would like to do A and B separate, and bundle C through N. And that should be able to open up conversations after you vote on it.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve item 5A?
So moved.
Second.
Any further questions or discussion? Those are the gifts and donations.
Just thanks to our boosters, to President Redinger and also President Smith, I believe, is still heading the music boosters, right? Thanks to the Demon Athletic Boosters and also music boosters.
Roll call, please.
Kraft?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, is there a motion to approve item 5B, which is the contract with WTA?
So moved.
Second.
Any further questions or discussion?
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Patrick did inform me that the WTA did ratify this earlier today as well.
That helps. Okay. Any other questions?
An important piece of information.
Yeah, that's what I forgot to mention.
Thanks for those ongoing meetings, communications, get-togethers that allowed us to come to this conclusion. And it is fiscally prudent, and it does allow us to be competitive and attractive to us.
And I do, I ditto what Joe says, I think that you've managed, with the two groups, you've managed to heal a lot of wounds that were there.
It's been both ways. You know, we have two parties at the table that, you know, both want to move forward, and whether it's talking to OPSI or talking to WTA, people wanted a happy Westlake, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, and I want to reiterate a thank you to our WTA members and WTA leadership for making this happen and working so well with our administration. It's really heartening to know. I mean, we all know this because we see this with our own kids. You go through a challenging time. You have the peaks and valleys of life, right? You go through those challenging times, and very often, once you get through it, you see that that can build to a stronger organization, a stronger family, a stronger relationship, whatever it is. And it is heartening. It's been great this past year and a half since we went really through some very trying times for our whole community based on disagreements and misunderstandings and understandings and poor relationships and all of the things that fed into the problems that we all face together. And it's so heartening to me to be sitting here and able to approve this contract extension. It does great things for us as a board. We're able to really settle in and make some plans and be able to know that, hey, we've got this locked in and these costs locked in that we know. It's really great for our WTA members as well. They have some comfort level to know, hey, we are going to get some raises, and it is time that we're able to see those increases. And I know when you talk about market adjustments, as painful as that has been for the last 10 years, 5 years in really in particular, it makes me much happier being at this point than where we were years ago. So I want to thank everybody involved, from our leadership team who sat there and negotiated and built the trust that was needed through that communications forum and through daily interactions and being in the buildings and having conversations walking down the halls. That's what makes for really solid negotiations. And I thank our WTA leadership and membership again for working with us on this.
Carol said everything I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
I'll say it anyway, a little shorter though. I'd like to thank Mr. McMorrow and the entire WTA leadership and the members for their support and commitment to the work, working with the board, the district, and leadership here in developing an agreement that is hopefully recognizes the commitment that the teachers make to the students and that the district makes to the teachers. So, again, a lot of what Ms. Winter said, but 30 seconds.
Roll call.
Winter.
Yes.
Finucane.
Yes.
Kraft.
Yes.
Lozinski.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, is there a motion to approve items 5C through 5N?
So moved. Second.
Any further questions or discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Finucane.
Yes.
Kraft.
Yes.
Lozinski.
Yes.
Winter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, this leads us to our second hearing of the public, which can be on any item within reason. Please come to the podium, state your name and address. No one wants to talk. Okay. Board comments. I have just, I know we talked about discussing the classes that we took when we were down at OSBA, but the choir concert is tonight at 7, and I know your daughter is singing. And we do have, I know Joe wants to talk about House Bill 200.
Just read from the Plain Dealer, a number of citizens in the community have brought this article up very quickly. A plan to expand Ohio's private school tuition voucher program to more middle-class families could soon go to vote in the Ohio House, despite stalling out the Senate earlier this year. House Bill 200, like the early proposal in the Senate from Senator Matt Huffman, would combine the three Ohio voucher programs, one with strict income requirements, one for students in failing schools, and one for Cleveland residents in one program. The new opportunity scholarships would give families a state subsidy toward private school tuition regardless of where in Ohio they live, regardless of the rating of their local public school, and with relaxed income restrictions. If the bill passes, families would receive $5,000 in state tax money to help pay tuition, almost always at religious schools, for students in kindergarten through eighth grade, and $7,500 for high school students. You think about our cut in funding and charter school vouchers, the dollars that have been taken away from us here in Westlake and other districts as well, and citizens as well as many of us look at this as further reduction in funds and wondering what will we be doing about this. So I wanted to bring it up for discussion with the board, and I'd like to continue to discuss it. What are we doing in this area?
Can I ask, we've done this before in the past when we built the state for some of our back payments, as
right.
we felt.
Right.
There are a couple of things we can do as a board, and we might want to consider down the road, I don't know when, but passing a resolution that we vote on, that we send down to our state lawmakers about how we feel as a board about this, that it does undercut, I don't know, the tenuous finances that we even get from the state. We may want to tap into going down to Columbus to testify. Did you, and I apologize, did you speak to when they're going to testify? It's gotten out of the committee.
Right.
So when will they be doing testimony?
Well, I agree with you. I think to stay on this, I think a resolution would be the right thing to do. I know that there are citizens out there that are wanting to join us in our efforts as well, but at least use this body and this meeting and ongoing meetings as an opportunity just to bring us together. And I think we need to be doing more here. I know we've had a lot of conversations with representatives and senators. I know that our partnership, for example, with other local schools as well as other schools in the state, I just think we need to be on this relentless, and we just need to keep the effort going.
Did you speak to, are there dates set for testimony yet in front of the
fall?
I don't
have those dates.
Okay, so we could perhaps, since we're an outreach, or Barb, you're on legislative, if we want to, you know, talk about next steps.
And we have been talking about this as the Alliance as well, and that's the Alliance for High Quality Education. The feedback that we received, you know, when it comes to this bill, they did not, the Alliance was not seeing this bill being met with a favorable response when it gets to the Senate, where Senator Huffman has companion legislation, SB 85. However, it is important, as you are saying, to reaffirm what Mr. Kraft is saying, contact your legislator, ask him or her to oppose House Bill 200. And while testimony, Moni, getting to Columbus is good, written testimony is also very strong as well.
Okay.
So you don't feel like you have to go down there. In person is always better,
right.
But if you can't go in person, please write, because it does matter.
And I'm willing to work with you or any
mm-hmm.
other board members.
Okay.
You know, maybe two of us get together and kind of pen some sample testimony and plan when that testimony is going to be given, because usually they'll have a week that they'll hear testimony, a week or a few days, so we can find out what those dates are.
I think about bringing other citizens in to have, say, a handcrafted letter for their signature ready to forward to representatives might be helpful as well. So
what about the PTAs?
Right. And I believe they would reach out back to us just to say, okay, produce the language, let us sign this, and just send a number of letters, for example, with their signature on it to our representatives.
Mm-hmm.
One idea.
I'm curious because we have a PTA representative sitting in the audience.
Two of them.
Yeah, two of them. Have you discussed this at council?
We have, please.
Okay.
It's all got motion more.
Okay, since you met, so, all right.
Mr. Hopkins, can I turn this on for me?
Certainly.
Trust me, it'll be real good. If they're estimating a little more than $5,000 could be going to the students, I think it's from the, what percentage of our property taxes that, you know, citizens of Westlake pay go towards the schools? Is it usually like, isn't it about 75%? Or is it 65%?
You know, I apologize. I would not want to throw out a number offhand, but what I will speak to...
I know it's over 50%.
You know, very, very quickly is, you know, on the state funding side of things, you know, we're what's referred to as a guaranteed district. And the nicest way I can put that is they would like to give us less money if they could. They just legally can't. So any reduction in those funds, okay, or as a voucher program would be expanded or a charter program would be expanded, at some point, okay, we're no longer losing that state funding, but we would actually be sending local property tax to, from my understanding of this, to private schools or the possibility of private schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that
you know, and that's very, very well, quite frankly, it would be groundbreaking in Ohio for that to happen. I mean, that's not, with the exception of, I think they did it with like the Cleveland plan. You know, we're a district that's very, very highly rated. We're a district that provides a very, very high quality education with lots and lots of opportunities for students. And to take money out of this school district here so that, you know, like right now where students attend a charter that isn't nearly as highly rated as our district, it befuddles me to say the least.
What the thing that kills me is that the majority of probably Westlake residents, I mean, the average home owner's paying maybe $4,000 or $5,000 a year, and property taxes maybe $6,000, and you know, almost all of that will be going. They'd be getting a refund. Basically, they send their kid to a parochial school.
That's right. Quite the possibility.
I mean, if you just look at it in very simple terms like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, and in some cases, you know, that's just an average. In some cases, they may be actually making money.
Well, correct. And they can bank anything left over.
Right.
Well, so I believe they removed that from the proposal.
Yes, they did.
They did take that out.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But again,
that was astounding.
If a typical home, if a homeowner of a $200,000 house is paying, you know, $3,000 a year, they're able to get $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who's picking up the other $2,000 other than the other homeowners?
We are. Yeah.
In your discussions with Senator Dolan, has there ever been any talk, and I doubt that there has been, but and I don't remember that when they deemed it unconstitutional the way that we fund our schools?
Four times.
Four
times.
And it's been years and years. But is there talk of them trying to change this funding?
It's not just Senator Dolan. I know that Representative Greenspan, I think you hear, boy, I know Representative Greenspan at one point in time, I don't know if you were there, but at North Olmsted Public Library, mm-hmm. brought in
Andrew Brenner.
Right. Yeah, and I know they were talking about crafting different formulas of school funding.
Kind of frightening, but yes, they did.
There wasn't
any better than what we had.
Yeah, there was one that was discussed before where all the money goes to the state and then the state redistributes it. That is, you know, that would be really bad, you know, mm-hmm. because you would have a community like, you know, like Westlake who is contributing and then it goes and then it gets distributed to different cities across the state of Ohio. I think that would be very frustrating to people. But anyway, so there's different plans that have been out there. It's been talked about. They haven't come to anything yet. But the most recent conversations, I know Mr. Kraft was asking about Dr. Lloyd, and I know, and I'll let you finish your question because I was going to use it as a transition.
Sure, absolutely. I wanted to know if the group that I believe Dr. Lloyd mm-hmm. was heading is still having active conversations.
Yes. having active conversations in the recent conversation, kind of, it hasn't been House Bill 200, but Senate Bill 216 is a big one right now. It is a really, really, really good bill. It's one of the first deregulation type of bills that we've seen. Unfortunately, the state superintendent has recently come out against it, which was pretty surprising in that. And so right now, a big focus is really trying to get people knowledgeable, where you can make your own decision whether you're for it or against it, but to really get the information out there about Senate Bill 216. That's a really good one.
Okay. Any other board comments? Okay, at this time then, is there a motion to adjourn to executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
To adjourn into executive session at 7:19 p.m. Kraft?
Yes.
Finucane?
Yes.
Lozinski?
Yes.
Winter?
Yes.
Motion carries.